something is certain. If you stick to the word, you will come back with a testimony. What God wants to give you in your life is not a healing. What God wants to give you in your life is not a job. What God wants to give you in your life is not money. What God wants to give you is the word of God in your spirit. It'll make you what it talks about. And you are shining. And you are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining by the power of the Holy Ghost. You are shining and nothing can stop you. It is your season. It is your time. Nothing can hinder you. This is your time. This is your hour. Favor is yours.
This is the continuation of the message, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You know, there are a lot of people who are always crying about the situation. They're crying and crying and crying. Oh God, look at my situation. Oh God, do something. But see, the Bible doesn't say that the crying of a righteous man produces results. He says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. The effectual, fervent prayer. What is an effectual, fervent prayer? An effectual, fervent prayer is not praying, 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 how long it is. It's not shouting. It's not how high you shout, how loud you shout. No. An effectual, fervent prayer means consistently praying God's word, speaking out God's word, releasing God's word. It becomes effective. The Bible says it makes dynamic power available, tremendous power available. Power becomes available. Let me show you something about you. Are you ready? Turn to the book of Ephesians. Chapter number 3. You hear this word? Let me tell you, it doesn't matter what you're suffering from today. You will put the devil where he belongs. Whether it's blindness, whether you're being crippled, no matter what kind of sickness it is, I tell you, you will trample the devil under your feet. Can you shout amen, somebody? Yeah. Hallelujah. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Whew. Paul was preaching at Lystra. You see that in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts. In verse 7, the Bible tells us, you read it from verse 7 down to verse 9 and 10. The Bible says, Paul saw a man who was impotent in his feet, couldn't walk. And Paul was preaching the gospel. He didn't pray. The Bible says, on the ground, the man was sitting there and he was listening to Paul. And the Bible says, Paul looked at the man and perceived that the man had faith to be healed. Where did he get the faith from? From hearing God's word. And Paul said, sir, get up. And that was all. And the man leaped and walked. The power of God's word. Hallelujah. Tell somebody, I love the word of God. Say it again. Say, I love the word of God. Say it like you mean it. I love the word of God. Yeah. Visions chapter 3. Paul is writing here. Verse 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Oh boy. That's enough just to sit and have church all by yourself. The unsearchable riches of Christ. What is the man talking about? This is something more than dollars and rands. You understand? The unsearchable riches of Christ. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given. Grace. He says, I'm less than the least of all saints. Why did Paul say that? It's very simple. When you study his writings in, he wrote so many books. And this man was known to be a good lawyer. He knew how to argue. You understand? So he would have argued with God. But he didn't, for one reason. He tried it before. It didn't work. You remember? Let me tell you about it. In the book of Acts, the Bible tells us, when he had just been born again, and Jesus appeared to him and said, I want you to go far and preach the gospel to the Gentiles. He said, no, Lord. They know me in this area. They know that I was persecuting the church. They'll listen to me in Jerusalem. Jesus said, they will not listen to your testimony concerning me. Go! I'm sending you far. Oh, all right, sir. He realized the man he was talking to was boss. So he learned not to argue with Jesus. Hallelujah. Now here's Paul. He says, unto me who am less than the least of all saints. Paul realized that with all what he understood about the righteousness of God, it was not enough for human perfection. There was a difference between the righteousness of God and human perfection. There's a big difference between righteousness and right living. Are you hearing me? Righteousness is the gift of God. That is actually the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says the righteousness of God is given to you as a gift. Righteousness is the rightness of God in a man's spirit. Righteousness is the life of God that gives to a man the ability to do right. It gives to a man the ability, the consciousness to stand in the presence of Almighty God without a sense of inferiority or condemnation or guilt. It is that thing, hallelujah, that is wrought in the life of a human person that makes that person come into union with God, union with deity. And then you just see yourself, you are awakened to the fatherhood of God. You know Papa God is your daddy. Hallelujah. And you stop running away from him. That is righteousness. But you may not be perfect in the things you do. Every once in a while you may do something wrong. That's why John said to us, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He says we have a lawyer with the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus is your lawyer. Can you say amen? Amen. Your advocate with the Father. And Papa God is not challenging him to say something. No. Papa God hired Jesus on his side. His daddy's lawyer for his kids. Oh boy. Did you get it? He says we have an advocate with the Father. This advocate is the Father's advocate. For us, his kids. Wow, how can you lose? Impossible. And so Paul understood this thing. And he realized that the more he tried to obtain perfection with his own works, the more it eluded him. And then he ceased the struggle and rested in his everlasting arms. And once you get to rest in his everlasting arms, you understand what victory is all about. Hallelujah. He said he had a thorn in the flesh. Trouble in his life. And every time he said, he prayed to God to take it away. Something wrong was going on. And you know what Jesus said when he prayed? He said three times, Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. In other words, don't think that because you asked for forgiveness last week, and then you asked for forgiveness last month for the same thing, and you asked for forgiveness 2 days ago for the same thing, and you're asking for forgiveness again today. He says, don't think that I get tired of you. My grace is abundantly sufficient. So Paul said to us, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, grace has been given to preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Somebody say hallelujah. Oh, glory to his name. You know, that's not even where we're going. Are you still there? In Ephesians chapter number 3? All right. Now, I want you to go straight to verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world have been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh. Look, he says to make all men see their participation in the revelation, the mystery that had been hid from the beginning of the world. He says he wants men to see it, to catch that revelation. What is it? That revelation actually is what he tells us about in the book of Colossians chapter 1 when you read from verse 26 into verse 27. He calls it Christ in you, the hope of glory. But come on here. Let's go on. Verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. He's saying that God wants to declare to the church, rather through the church, God's people, he wants to declare through us to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places his many-sided wisdom. Through us, he displays his perfection, his beauty, his glory, his divine excellencies. Praise the Lord. Now, come on, quick. Go down to verse 14. Oh, I like this. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. One family, but some of them are already in heaven, and some are still in earth, like us here. But it's one family. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you. Now, this is what I want you to observe. I want you to follow this verse very carefully. This is the reason I brought you to this chapter, okay? Hello, are you still there? Yeah. Are you following this? Am I running too fast? It's okay? Thank you. I'll read it again from verse 14 into 16. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened. The word is energized, invigorated with might. The Greek word there is dunamis. That means miracle working power. He says, I pray to God that you be energized, invigorated, strengthened on the inside with miracle working power, the dynamic ability to cause changes. He says, I want this thing working in you, that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man.
Hallelujah.
Stay tuned. Pastor Chris will be right back.
The troubling questions in the heart of many will be answered. The direction needed for that future you desire will be given. The word for the next and higher level of your life will be proclaimed. Join the Global Classroom every first Sunday of every month at 1600 GMT on www.loveworldinternetradio.org for an exclusive questions and answer session with the man of God, Pastor Chris.
Judy from South Africa is asking, Pastor, I want to know, what is the book of life? And who is in the book of life? Dear Pastor Chris, is it okay for a dating man and a woman to live together?
Tune in and participate at www.loveworldinternetradio.org. Don't miss it.
The Love World Radio app is rightly designed to entertain, inspire, inform, motivate, and add color to your everyday life. We've got the best of everything on radio. The best music, the best of inspiring messages, the best talk shows, and the best of wholesome content. The Love Old Radio app has a smooth and sleek user interface with features designed to keep you tuned in and locked on, giving you an amazing user experience all day, every day. Waste no time. Download the Love Old Radio app from your app store, and you will be glad you did. Because we are the best of the best in radio entertainment.
This message is brought to you by Christ Embassy Ondo, 267 at Demulegun Road, opposite Indubisi Hospital Junction, Ondo. Worship with us on Sundays, 7:30 a.m. and 9:15 a.m. Wednesdays, 5:30 p.m. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 0803-970-0920 or 0806-002-2965 or send an email to radiotransmissions@loveo360.com. God bless you.
This is the continuation of the message, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
You see, on the one side, Jesus gave us authority. And we understand authority when you exercise authority over demons, over circumstances of life. and live in victory. But apart from authority, there is also the wonder-working power, inherent power, on the inside of each one of us. The ability of God resides in us. Do you know that the Holy Ghost dwells in you? Who is the Holy Ghost? Oh, that's the last part of this thing. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He says the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. We'll get to that. But this glorious, wonderful third person of the Godhead, the Bible says that he will strengthen you with might in the inner man, inside you. You know, you can stir up the power of God in you. If you will stir up the power of God in you, it'll destroy the tumor. If you will stir up the power of God in you, the blood disease would leave you. It would vanish. If you will stir up the power of God in you, the anointing, that's, oh boy. That's what the anointing is all about. Hello, hello, hello. Christ in you. Christ in you. He didn't say Christ with you. He said Christ in you. He says this is the mystery that has been hidden in ages and generations past, but now is revealed to the saints. He says this mystery is Christ in you. This is your hope of the glorious life. Christ in you. Say thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, let's go back somewhere. Are you ready with me? He said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes, do you know it's for your sake? Has it occurred to you it's for your sake? For your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might become rich. When I think about the fact that what he did was for me. You know, Paul said, through this man is preached unto you the remission of sins, and by him all that believe, that's Acts chapter 13, verse 38, all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. He says, through this man, Jesus, is preached, announced unto you the remission, the removal of sins. And by him, everybody who believes is justified from all things. Not from some, but from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. He said the law of Moses wouldn't have justified you, it would have condemned you. John said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and the truth about God came by Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who came to let us know what Papa God is like. God didn't want to condemn you. No. God loves you. This is the true revelation. It says that the law came by Moses. But grace, favor. You know, a lot of times they say grace is unmerited favor. I don't know what picture you get when you call it unmerited favor. Sometimes I like to break it down. Favor apart from qualifications. Did you get it? You don't have to qualify. You just have to be you. That's enough to get the favor of God. He says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth, grace and reality came by Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Remember that woman that ran to Jesus? The crowd was after her, the mob. They ran after her with stones. And she ran toward Jesus and fell at his feet. And then they stopped. They said, now we really have him. They thought they trapped Jesus. They all stood around him, and Jesus acted like he didn't know who was there. And then they said, "Now, hello, look at us. We want to kill this woman according to the law." See, she was caught in the very act of adultery. She ought to die by the law of Moses. And the Bible says Jesus was writing in the sand. I love Jesus. He could play. He was playing with the sand. And then he said, "That's not a problem. Anybody among you without sin should cast the first stone." And the guy had his stone. He said, "Hey, I got some sin. So about you?" The other one said, "Well, I'm not that good either." "Hey, Johnny, come on." "Not me. Told a lie last night." And then one by one, they dropped their stones and walked away. And then Jesus let them quit. Then he raised his head and said, "Woman, hath no man condemned you?" She said, "None, Lord." All right. It was Jesus' opportunity to nail her. You know what I'm talking about. But he didn't do that. He said, "Neither do I condemn you." Hey, somebody says, even Jesus was not perfect enough to condemn the woman. No. Listen. Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no more." Why? Because Jesus was on his way to bear the sins of many. Hey, he was going, taking this woman's responsibility, taking her sins. He couldn't have let her go. He was supposed to condemn her. He was the one with the rights, the authority to condemn her by the law. And then he didn't do it. He was to be held responsible for that. And he knew it. The law held him responsible. The others were not qualified to stone her to death, but Jesus was qualified and he didn't do it. The law held him responsible for that. And so to the cross he went, taking that woman's sins and the sins of all those dudes going back home. And the Bible tells us he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that we might have peace was laid on him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. But the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Hey, hallelujah. And then Papa God looked at Jesus on the cross. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then the dark hour came. And Jesus knew something happened because Papa God turned his back on Jesus. Because at this moment, all our sins were laid on Jesus. He became not just the sacrifice for our sins. The Bible says he was made sin. Not sin sacrifice. He became sin who knew no sin. In other words, he took upon his own spirit our very nature. That's why I told you at the beginning, he became us. He was not just our representative, he became us. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. He became us. Not just someone who went for us. He went for us. Then at this particular hour, he became us. He answered my name. He answered your name. Are you hearing me tonight? He became us on the cross. Brother, hear me. You died on that cross. Every one of us died on that cross. We were there on that cross. He cried out, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Why have you forsaken me?" Yes, because he became sin. And the Bible says God is so holy he does not look at sin. He's too holy for that. Turn his back on his son Jesus, who had taken our very place and had become us. He was made sin, who knew no sin, that we, there it is again, that we might become the righteousness of God. Not just for us to receive the righteousness of God. That was one beautiful thing. But that we might become the very righteousness, the expression of his righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We trust that you are blessed by the message you just listened to. We invite you to make Jesus the Lord of your life by saying this prayer. O Lord God, I believe with all my heart in Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. I believe he died for me and God raised him from the dead. I believe he's alive today. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from this day. Through him and in his name, I have eternal life. I am born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I am now a child of God. Hallelujah. If you would like us to pray with you or to share your testimony with us, please call +234-812-851-9834 or send an email to lwrtransmissions@gmail.com. God bless you.
Wow! This message has been brought to you by Christ Embassy Ondo. 267 at Dim Legun Road, opposite Ndubisi Hospital Junction, Ondo. Worship with us on Sundays, 7:30 a.m. and 9:15 a.m. Wednesdays, 5:30 p.m. For prayer and counseling, or to share your testimony with us, please call 0803-970-0920 or 0806-002-2965 or send an email to radiotransmissions@level360.com. God bless you.